the latest agriculture news from across the state and the nation, here's Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. Here's your host, Danielle Leal.
Hey, good morning, and thanks for joining us today here on AgNet West, Farm City Newsday. Moving right along into today's program headlines, Brian German is talking with us about how to use water stress uniformity to get walnut trees through the drought. You'll also hear another report on the drought as the California Cattle Council launches a campaign focusing on drought. And earlier in the week, we heard how the crisis at the southern border is causing concerns of safety for farmers, their families, and their employees. I'm starting off today's program with how that same crisis is costing farmers lots of money. Let's jump right in. American Farm Bureau President Zibby Duvall toured farms along the southern border, and farmers expressed their concern over safety for their family and their employees. Duvall said people making the journey across the border are causing costly damage to the farms they cross.
They're worried about the security of their property and their farm machinery and equipment. Some of them had their homes looted. They've seen their fences torn down numerous times with great expense to them. They've seen water sources tampered with and compromised during this time.
Farmers are also seeing the deadly truth of the dangerous track.
We've heard discussions about farmers and ranchers finding people that have not made the trip and passed away. And it's really been heartbreaking to see and experience what I have the last 2 days.
All 50 states have signed onto a letter that they sent to President Biden about the crisis and the urgency to secure the border. And now let's take a listen to these back-to-back agriculture reports with AgNet West reporter Brian German.
Water stress uniformity can help get walnut trees through periods of drought. Cooperative Extension Orchard Advisor for Sacramento, Solano, and Yolo counties, Kat Jarvis Sheehan, explains the concept behind water stress uniformity.
If people are in a really tight spot, and I hope this isn't too many people this year, but that might be the case in coming years if things continue to be dry, the thing that we find is best is, to the extent possible, applying stress uniformly throughout the season. If you're really pretty short on water, only have half to 0% of what you would usually use, trying to maintain stress in at least above negative 12 bars in an absolute sense, and saving a smidge of water for the post-harvest irrigation to guard against frost and cold damage. Now, when you're in that zone, really what you're doing is just trying to keep the trees alive. To get out of this, you'll have some pretty severe impact on your nut size and quality. But the idea with that uniform stress application is that you'll have smaller nuts to start with, and so they'll still fill more than if you applied a lot of water early in the season and then didn't have water for the meat inside of that nut to fill in. And that uniform stress is also going to get the tree to really explore a deeper soil profile so that you have deeper roots that it's accessing deeper water, as opposed to putting a lot of water on early in the season and sort of training the tree to just grow its roots in the top foot or two of the soil profile, and then that will dry down very easily. So in that lower amount of water availability, you're just kind of trying to train the tree to manage the stress as well as possible to get through it, not to have a big banner yield year.
For more tips on how to get walnut trees through drought conditions, you can visit sacvalleyorchards.com. Despite the ongoing challenges, the overall long-term outlook for California agriculture remains positive. North American Regional Head of Rabo Research Food and Agribusiness for Rabobank, Roland Famasi, said the demand-side forces are trending in a positive direction, which bodes well for California agriculture.
When you think about the specialty crops we produce in California, when you think about the dairy industry in California, fruits, vegetables, tree nuts, we grow the highest quality rice in the world. When you think about the rising incomes globally, what happens is those consumers' food choices start to change, and they start to go in for more of what you and I would consider the perimeter of the store, more fresh dairy, more animal protein, more fresh fruits and vegetables, the types of things that California does so well. And those incomes globally are expected to continue to rise. You know, we see evidence of what I'm talking about when you just look at the continued growth in our export volumes of many of these products Some of them have had some pricing pressure as well, but others, are hitting record export levels, even at relatively strong prices. So that underscores the point of global demand for the types of products that California produces.
I'm Brian German for AgNet West Radio Network.
Just like clockwork, there's another year and another farmer's almanac, except this 2022 version has a bit of a modern flair. The 2022 Farmer's Almanac is set to be released this week, and it includes 184 pages of helpful tips, calendars, and guides to help you plan your year ahead. You'll also find a year and a half of weather forecasts, as well as tips to use your time to create a sustainable lifestyle. Pete Greiger, who's the editor of the Almanac, says, quote, "We encourage readers to take time to head outdoors and reconnect with the environment by growing their own food, shopping locally, and using natural remedies whenever possible. Folks outside of the ag industry shouldn't be put off by the name with Farmer's Almanac, as the publication reaches far beyond farmers in general. The Almanac and its readers have evolved since it was first released in 1818 and have a more modern take on traditional daily tasks. A few of the changes to the almanac include the lack of husbandry tips for farm animals. However, it does suggest the best days to cut your hair and lawn to increase growth, quit a bad habit, grow basil, and brew your own beer. If you don't get the chance to get your hands on the Farmer's Almanac, you can browse topics including gardening, home and living, astronomy, fishing, as well as shop the almanac store by visiting farmersalmanac.com. It is time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports, including our livestock report from Randall Wiseman when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be SGMA compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. In today's national headline, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. The Department of Agriculture released a reevaluation of the Thrifty Food Plan, used to calculate Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP benefits. As a result, the average SNAP benefit, excluding additional funds provided as part of pandemic relief, will increase more than 20% for fiscal year 2022. As directed by Congress in the 2018 Farm Bill, and with the express support of President Biden's January 22nd executive order, USDA conducted a review of the Thrifty Food Plan. The resulting cost adjustment is the first time the purchasing power of the plan has changed since it was first introduced in 1975, reflecting notable shifts in the food marketplace and consumers' circumstances. The evaluation concluded that the cost of a nutritious, practical, cost-effective diet is 21% higher than the current Thrifty Food Plan. As a result, the average SNAP benefit, excluding additional funds provided as part of pandemic relief, will increase by $36.24 per person per month. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal, tossing it right on over to Randall Wiseman with today's livestock report.
Well, in today's livestock news, since a late July outbreak of the COVID-19 Delta variant in Nanjing, the Chinese government has imposed strict countermeasures in affected areas in an effort to contain the virus. U.S. Meat Export Federation's Joe Sheely has more details.
In this U.S. Meat Export Federation report, Senior Vice President for the Asia-Pacific Joel Haggard says China's strict COVID countermeasures haven't had an immediate impact on meat demand, but have further heightened concerns about product movement and logistical challenges.
China is now facing what it's calling its worst outbreak since last year, a spread of the Delta variant that started from airport workers in Nanjing, which is China's eighth largest metropolitan area. This current wave certainly is modest compared to the new infections being reported in the U.S. and most Western countries. But China's maintaining a zero COVID goal and tackling the outbreak with great determination. While the outbreaks have caused sudden drops in travel, hotel bookings, and food service in these areas with cases, even a few, we're hearing of somewhat normal business conditions in almost all other areas. Meat Export Federation personnel on the ground in Shanghai, Beijing, and Guangzhou were reporting good food service business. And last week, MEF conducted a number of smaller-scale U.S. beef and pork merchandising training activities in Shanghai and Guangzhou, and with good attendance. There are a few other challenges to imported meat that I should note. China continues to maintain that imported meat and poultry and seafood can transmit COVID. Several municipalities have stepped up checking cold storages to make sure wholesalers are following COVID testing and disinfection rules. There have been some reports of local authorities halting the sale of imported meat, but traders think these orders are transitory. One theory goes that the authorities are being extra strict, as there's been some widespread media coverage about the reprimanding of the Nanjing officials over their handling of the initial Delta outbreak. And then at the end of last week, China closed a section of its Ningbo port due to a single COVID case there. Ningbo is not a major conduit for U.S. red meat imports, but any port closure, and Ningbo is the third largest in the world, is going to add to global shipping congestion woes. The situation is still very fluid, but stepping back and looking at this Nanjing Delta outbreak in perspective, at the moment, it looks like a speed bump rather than a major obstruction.
For more information, please visit usmef.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm Joe Sheely.
Thanks, Joe. And livestock and poultry producers who suffered losses during the COVID-19 pandemic due to insufficient access to processing are being reminded you can apply for assistance for those losses and the cost of depopulation and disposal of the animals. But the deadline to apply is September the 17th. This is all through USDA's Pandemic Livestock Indemnity Program, or PLIP. Now, again, the livestock must have been depopulated between March 1 of 2020 through December 26 of 2020, all due to insufficient processing access as a result of the pandemic. If you'd like more information on this, just contact your local Farm Service Agency office. But again, you have until September 17 to apply. I'm Randall Wiseman for AgNet West.
Have you noticed a difference in your receipts at the grocery store? Retail prices for fresh fruit are coming down, but are still considerably higher than 1 year ago. USDA's Gary Crawford talks with USDA economist Carolyn Chelius in this next report.
The latest consumer price index for food products shows that grocery store food prices are continuing to climb. In July, they went up an average of just over 0.5%, and almost every food item did go up except fresh fruit. And Ag Department economist Carolyn Chelius told us.
Fresh fruit actually saw a pretty sizable decrease in prices from June to July at almost 2%. It was 1.8%.
Led by price declines for citrus fruit of almost 3% during July. However, the other side of it is that fresh fruit prices already were still much higher than they were a year ago, almost 5% higher.
And that's actually the largest increase of all categories. There are a few that are trailing pretty close behind that.
For example, pork's costing 4.4% more than a year ago, beef at about 4.2% higher. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
And it's time for us to head out for another break. We'll be right back with more of the day's agriculture news and farm features when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be Sigma compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture. Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal. Yesterday, we heard the first half of my interview with Tulare County Agricultural Commissioner Tom Tucker as he broke down the process of how counties collect data for their annual crop and livestock report. Today, you'll hear us chat about the importance of those reports, trends of Tulare County producers, and his prediction of where the county stands when it comes to total ag production. Why is it important that folks participate? What's the end goal? Obviously, as I mentioned earlier, and you mentioned, it's fun to sort of highlight all of the many things that are happening across your county and boast a little bit about your top 10 products. But why is it important? What's the end goal from these crop and livestock reports that get produced every year?
Sure. And the goal is kind of multifaceted, depending on who you might be. Obviously, starting with the bragging rights, it is always nice to be able to say you're the leader in one commodity or the next. Sure. But it's this information very often is used by growers themselves who might be looking to pull out an older orchard or
diversify a little.
Yes, and you know they want to see what did well last year or is what's trending well. Maybe they are a row crop or a silage farmer that plants annual crops and looking for something that's more a permanent crop, such as your trees or your vines, those types of things. And so they can use that information. Or there are investors that invest in different counties throughout the state, and they want to know where's the best place to put their money. So if they want to come and invest in a dairy or milk, perhaps, you know, they might be looking at Tulare County as, you know, we've been number one for just about ever. And you know, you can see the point. It's, and there are people that want to work in the ag industry, and depending on what they want to do, and they might see Tulare County as just the perfect fit for them.
Sure. And now I know that your guys' crop and livestock report isn't quite out yet, and you're still collecting data and taking photos and creating, you know, this report. But any trends that you might see, and it doesn't necessarily have to be from data collected, but, I mean, you've been the agricultural commissioner now for, is it now 2 years?
Working on the third year. Yeah.
Working on the third year. So, you know, you've saw before the pandemic, kind of in the beginning, and now as we are working well through the second year, but any trends that you can kind of come up with that you've heard from your producers that maybe some challenges, maybe something that they've overcome?
Yeah. The one trend that comes to mind is been building over the last several years, I believe, and it has a lot to do with the water shortage that we have and the drought that we're currently in. And many of our, I mentioned row crops or our field crop producers, they're heavily dependent on water, like all agriculture is. But they're looking for a way to become more efficient And one of those ways is to move towards permanent crops where you can apply your water through irrigation systems such as drip irrigation or fan jet irrigation, and you can deliver a very specific amount of water and or nutrients for that matter throughout the year exactly to the tree or the vine or whatever it might be and right to their root zone, and not have to irrigate out in the middles or places where the roots are not specifically at. That's a trend. Not everybody's doing that, of course, but it is something that we've seen increase over the years.
As we wrap up here, last question, Tulare County is always, you know, one of the top. Do we think that that's going to happen again this year, whether it's the top producing county in total agriculture production or what top three? What are your predictions?
Well, we're always, you know, hoping for the number one, of course, and we were there for a while, but we've held within the top three for, you know, a good long time, and, you know, I'll certainly predict that and hope for that. As I say, that there's been changes, you know, our west sides and the other counties have been seeing many of the same types of changes, and we have new crops for that matter. Last year, hemp was a big deal, mm-hmm. and, you know, it kind of slowed down a little bit this past year until processing kind of builds on it. But there's a lot of changes, and I just encourage everybody to keep tuned, and we'll see who gets one, two, and three, and we'll go from there.
Again, that was Tulare County Agricultural Commissioner Tom Tucker. If you'd like to listen to a recap of my interview, you can always head on over to our website. That's www.agnetwest.com. For more information, that's also where you can find recaps of today's reports. Right now, it is time for us to head out for a short break. We'll be right back with more of the day's national headlines and local reports when we return. Are you looking to increase yields up to $1,200 per acre? Well, our friends over at Phycoterra have a soil microbe food that's the glue your soil needs to improve the microbial life and provide growth to your crop and return. With the application of Phycoterra to your soil, it can increase water retention, improve nut quality, and provide longer-term viability. You can stick to growing and let Phycoterra stick to your soil. Head on over to phycoterra.com/almonds to see the difference on your orchards today. That's phycoterra.com/almonds.
Wild Eye is a proud partner of growers throughout the Valley State and Nation and provides reliable, affordable, field-proven monitoring and control solutions to help you save time and money. With increasing water scarcity, ask Wild Eye's qualified staff about their simple, easy-to-install and use monitoring systems to help you keep track of your precious water resources and also be Sigma compliant. With more than 50,000 systems working daily on farms like yours, you can count on Wild Eye. Visit them today online at mywildeye.com.
BioBest Sustainable Crop Management is the leader and most reliable supplier in biological crop protection and pollination. Since 1987, their team has dedicated themselves to bringing you sustainable alternatives for pest management. Interested in hearing more? Reach their representatives at customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. That's customerservice.na@biobestgroup.com. And a local representative will reach out to you within 24 hours. BioBest North America, defining sustainable agriculture.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. In today's national headlines, sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation and the National Association of Farm Broadcasters. Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack and U.S. Trade Representative Catherine Tai released a statement following a meeting with the Agricultural Policy Advisory Committee. Ambassador Tai detailed how the Biden-Harris administration's trade agenda aligns with the objectives of the agricultural sector. The ambassador discussed how USTR is working to support the ability of U.S. agricultural producers to expand access to foreign markets and a new customer base. Secretary Vilsack emphasized the importance of promoting exports and finding new overseas markets, and that agricultural trade is tied to the health of rural economies. Vilsack provided an overview of priorities, including the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement implementation and trade with China and the EU. Agricultural Policy Advisory Committee is managed jointly by USDA and USTR.
The committee includes various leaders of commodity and farm groups and agribusiness organizations focused on ensuring U.S. trade policy and trade negotiating objectives reflect U.S. public and private sector interests. The nation's average gas price declined 0.5 cents per gallon from a week ago to $3.17 per gallon, while the average price of diesel fell a penny in the last week and stands at $3.28 per gallon. The average gas price is unchanged from a month ago and $1.01 per gallon higher than a year ago. GasBuddy's Patrick DeHaan states, quote, "As the number of COVID cases continues to surge globally, oil prices continue to be under pressure due to some countries instituting travel and movement limitations," unquote. With the U.S. summer driving season ending and with additional high-profile companies delaying their return-to-office plans, there is some level of anxiety that fuel demand will trail off into the autumn as OPEC continues to raise oil production, leading prices to crumble. Last week, U.S. retail gasoline demand fell slightly after reaching its highest level of 2021. These headlines are brought to you by NAFB and sponsored by the American Farm Bureau Federation. Now back to the show.
You're listening to Farm City Newsday by Agnet West. I'm your host, Danielle Leal, tossing it right on over to Brian German with more local news.
A new public information campaign was recently launched by California's dairy industry, highlighting the work being done to reduce water use. Led by the California Cattle Council, the campaign includes a diversified outreach approach using radio and digital advertising, a public relations effort, and partnerships with public radio stations. Through investments in technology and innovative practices made by California dairy farmers, the industry has been able to substantially reduce water use over the years. According to information from the California Dairy Research Foundation, dairy farmers have made great progress in improving water conservation. Over the last 50 years, the dairy industry has collectively reduced the amount of water required per unit of milk produced by 89%, primarily due to improved feed crop production and water use efficiency. California Cattle Council Vice Chair and co-owner of Boggy Bottom Boys Dairy Farm in Humboldt County, Cody Nicholson Stratton, said the industry's been adopting practices like more efficient irrigation systems, using recycled water, and using natural byproducts as much as possible for animal feed. The campaign is aimed at keeping the public informed about the progress already made in the dairy sector and the continued efforts to improve water conservation as California struggles with another drought. More information about the campaign and about how dairy farmers are continuing to advance water-saving efforts is available at greencowca.com. I'm Brian German for Agnet West Radio Network.
Thanks, Brian. And rounding out today's show, scammers are finding new ways to target you. Michael Clements has more in this report.
Scamming you out of your money is big business, and scammers are constantly finding new ways to do so. And in rural America, you're not immune to scams, as fraudsters are finding ways to personalize their scams to sound more legit. AARP Oklahoma State Director Sean Voskel says scams are becoming harder to spot.
Scammers are getting more creative these days and finding ways to take your money. The use of lookalike websites is on the rise, from everything to consumer goods to travel websites and even farm supplies. They may look like the original website, but have a slightly different web address to catch you off guard and often offer deals that feel too good to be true.
Safeguarding your personal info online is an effective way to minimize your risk of being targeted.
Thanks to data breaches on social media and consumer-based websites, scammers can often get more information to make their pitch sound more legit. Your info bought by scammers on the dark web could include personal details about your life, farm, equipment and vehicles, and more, sometimes including credit card information. While we rely on website owners to keep that data secure, it's important to be aware and think about what information you are putting out there.
Voskel adds you should know how to spot a scam. Data shows that if you are aware of a specific scam, you are 80% less likely to engage with it.
Know the most common types of scams so you can identify them, including identity theft, phone fraud, phishing, ransomware, new account fraud, and even drop addresses scammers use to purchase items online. There's information available on the AARP Fraud Watch Network, a free resource to help you learn about these scams and stop them.
Visit AARP.org/Fraud Watch Network to learn how to proactively spot scams and learn more by watching AARP Live Thursday night at 9 p.m. Central Time on RFD TV. Michael Clements reporting.
To get more information on the topics you heard today, visit Agnet West online at agnetwest.com.
Get even more connected by following us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter by searching at Agnet West. And our team of Brian German at Brian German Agnet West and Danielle Leal with at D Leal Agnet West. This has been Farm City Newsday by Agnet West.